Hello and welcome back to the F24 podcast. My name is David, and as often as possible, I have a creative come over to my studio in North Acton to talk about their lives and experiences, about where they're from, how they found culture, and how it led them to becoming a creative, or an artist, or whatever fits. The importance is the power of culture. This week I had Crec,
TJ Dolan,
who kindly came down from Manchester to visit the studio and have a chat. We've never got to meet before, and I loved his work from the start. Loads of style, courage, playfulness and colour in his work, from his letters on steel and cement to his paintings on a variety of mediums. It was great having him round, and I learnt so much about him. I loved the vibe he brought. Go and check him out on Instagram at CrecFMS whilst you're listening. This is some of TJ Nolan's culture and creativity story. Enjoy.
Wicked TJ, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Nice, pleasure to meet you, man.
Proper pleasure to meet you at last, properly.
Yeah.
We've crossed paths a few times over the years with Andy Cook.
Definitely.
And we're kind of Manchester.
Yeah.
We all got to try shit.
Definitely. No, it's great. And it's, yeah, amazing how things change and just, yeah, it's good. It's really good. Done.
But yeah, where are you? Did you grow up in Manchester?
No, I was Manchester born. I'm one of four kids.
Okay.
And both my mother and my father were all born in Manchester. We've got a deep Irish background as well.
Nice.
But that's another story. But by the time I was a kid, we'd moved to the countryside. My dad had sort of made his money. He used to have like chip shops. That's what he did.
Wicked.
So all my brothers and sisters, they grew up above chip shops and all this kind of stuff and moved around from wherever to wherever.
Rental.
But by the time I was like primary school age, we moved there. And it's Wicked. Not far, yeah. But it's very far removed from Manchester.
Completely different life.
Yeah. Not so much now, but it is still very different. It's in, you know, it's very close, but it's miles away.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was.
And this is the '80s, I presume.
90s, really.
Early 90s,
yeah. So early '90s.
So making you older than
you
are.
I'm getting old, but 35 now. Again, like, weirdly, when it comes to doing graffiti, like I was like a skateboarder kid, and I had all the friends who like were into graffiti and like.
So that you saw all that, even though you're out in the
So there was a few. But again, the train was two stops to Manchester Piccadilly, so we were getting the train, skating the back streets, the, you know,
Pucker.
And that was when I started to notice stuff. And early on, like, I was deep into skateboarding, like most people.
How did you find skating? Do you remember?
I think I found skating just from that. It was just an underground thing. Culture of like in them days. There was no. Well, I think the internet was around, but there's no like
no social media.
And it was just you couldn't even buy skateboards. Like you'd have to go to a shop in town and then get it from America. It was all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of like that graph culture where you know, it's just an interesting world, it's unknown, and you want to just immerse yourself in it. So
the attraction to subculture is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and as I've said before, it's like when you're young, when you're a kid, you've got so much more time and less responsibilities. You know, once you finish school, that's all you've got to do, really.
Yeah.
So then you could just dedicate all your time to, you know, whether it's going outside and skating in a car park or whatever, or travelling. That was my life for years as a kid.
And then coming out to Manchester to skate.
Noticing, as I've said before, so like I used to, my mates who were a bit older, they were like into graph, into hip hop, into all this kind of stuff, as we all were. I got my art teacher gifted us like Subway art, spray can art. She was like, we were like, what the fuck? Like,
amazing. Yeah.
And then my best mate at the time, it was like, where's that spray can art book gone? And he was like, don't know. And like, he taxed it. We used to be you know, obviously the most stolen book in
definitely, man.
Library history, apparently.
Thinking world history of all shots.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's fucking incredible.
But they didn't realise they were bringing
it'll all go back and forth. But I remember again, so these older kids did graph, and they were pretty good, and they had like a few like silvers on the line, and we'd be like, blown away. And I was well into that, and I was always artistic as a kid, and like I was always into that. My brother's a musician, my older brother.
Oh, wow, wicked.
My sister's a creative as well. They have their own little business, they have their own little gift shop, and everything's hand done.
Nice.
None of our family's ever been educated, no one's ever been to university or anything like that.
You've all kind of like walked into what you want to do.
Yeah, and it's weird because like my mum and my dad are really not creative in any kind of artistic or musical way, whereas all the kids have been, you know, and all.
But maybe the secure lifestyle allowed for that.
Was kind of like had the mentality of like you can do whatever you want, just don't fuck up. That
exactly.
was his mentality, which was fine.
Yeah.
But that was that was great. Yeah. And
my mum allowed me to be creative. Like, she gave me security to allow me to be creative.
Totally.
And that's just having a roof over my head. Do you know what I mean? And
a
space.
Yeah. And it was like I was so lucky that I was a kid. You know, we could had time to do shit. So really, skateboarding. And by the time I was only maybe 15, 16, maybe not even, but we all went to Barcelona because that was like the hot spot in them days. So
of course.
Again, it's a long time ago now, but it's not a long time then. So I think it was like 2003, me and a couple of mates who still skate, we all went over. We nearly got turned away because we were all kids, but one of them was like over 18, so he was like, cool, you're all right, you can go. We were like, oh, sweet. We didn't even know. Like, yeah. We were like, oh, shit, what do you mean? He was like, he's 18, so he's all right.
These are kids.
Yeah, literally. So we went, and that was the first eye-opening. I was getting into graph, and I had already chosen this name. So when I first started writing, you know, I used to write the word rep.
Okay.
Classic hip-hop word, represent, blah, blah, blah. But there was a guy not too far away when I got more into it that used to write that word.
Yeah.
So I wanted a K. Like everybody wants a good letter. I had a K or I had an S or whatever. So I just got rid of the R and put a K on either side. That was how I got my name.
Wicked.
Correct. That's how it came about.
Amazing.
But it's so common how much people do have RE. It's really common next to each other when you start. Yeah. It's like the most common thing. So I don't know what that is, but that's how the name came about.
That's a wicked way to...
Starting with one letter and ending with one isn't the best idea in hindsight.
No, but the K is such a beautiful letter.
It is. And it's a good start. It's a good
such
number.
A fucking strong letter to use.
So that's what that was. But so I remember going to Barcelona that age, had like a few pens on me. I think I got like some spray paint from somewhere. We were like doing like shitty tags at the spots, like, you know, we were filmed and all this kind of stuff, like parallel and all these back streets. And I've got old photos, like obviously in them days.
Amazing.
I had films, analog, throwaway cameras. Yeah. Digital cameras were either dead expensive or really shit anyway.
Yeah. It was still 35 mil.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I found this yesterday. This is New York 2003. There's a red tag on it on the door.
Whoa.
But look, there's a fucking SESA tag. Screw MSK.
Fuck.
Iraq. And it's not. I didn't even notice till today or yesterday when I found a photo.
Oh my God.
But 03, I'm so glad that isn't a digital shot.
That's sick.
That's a real photo. And
that's one of his tags there. Yeah, that's fucking rad. That's me. Anybody, like, again, that quality is so nice.
Imagine that. That shot is digital, wouldn't be as
good. Nah. And unfortunately, loads of my, let's say, earlier career is all on really fucking shit digital cameras.
That's
I'm
what
devastated.
We're dealing with, man. Yeah. But it's part of it. We've just got to figure out that transition.
And it's
and
an interesting thing, which I'm assuming you probably yourself, but pretty much everybody are. It's like from doing something for, let's say, 5 years in, I was so then like embarrassed about that earlier stage. Like, yeah. It's all shit. But like, I look at it now and I kind of like it more than what I did because I'm like, I was just innocent. And I was just learning and
fresh.
I was like,
really fresh.
Clearly, like different, not tainted, just, you know.
But so you've got shots of this Barcelona trip, do you think?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Like, amazing. We made like a little skate video on like VH, like, you know, this kind of shit and it's all budget. But you see all the graph there. But the main thing was, which I went away with, like, I'd never seen anybody do graffiti ever. You know,
graffiti, you haven't seen anyone do it.
No, or see like my mates do it, or work, you know, myself do it. But you never see people like doing a piece in the street.
No, a pro. What you would refer to as a pro.
In Barca, it was just like, there was just dudes fucking painting in the middle of the street. And I was like, what's going on? Like, in them days, I was like, and it was everywhere.
Yeah.
And there was like six street eyes, you know, everybody that we all know, London Police, all this kind of stuff. That Pez guy, all these, Lamano, they're just there. I didn't know anything, but I saw it and it was all iconic. And we were talking about it today. It's like, you know, some people, even like, that's not even a conversation. But, you know, there was like that early transition of like street art. It's like picking a logo rather than a tag.
Lamano especially, man.
Totally.
That crossover
for him. It's like kids now, they don't even think about that. Like, it's not even in like that whole conversation of like street art are trying to appeal to more people than just writers. And writers essentially, you know, who love typography, essentially that's where it's come from. And, you know, that style. Like, they weren't really asked about what the general public were thinking.
I think almost, they're too complete.
Totally. That's what I mean. But like now, everything's just completely fucking...
It's in one big lump, but you can really see the difference.
We can.
You're right, we.
The general public...
Can't.
Nah. And I still think there is that bias of the general public still thinks...
100%. You know, the street artists talk to the public, we don't.
Exactly.
You know. At the majority of our careers, we don't talk to the public. We're talking to our peers.
No.
Now we can paint different things, or we choose to paint different things that the public are a bit more, that's nice.
Absolutely.
But they've hated us for many years. And I get it.
Yeah, of course.
I get it. We weren't talking to you. Right? But we took your eyes. Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no. That was a big change. That's from that trip. That's when I was like way more starting the you know, the seesaw was completely starting to swap.
Yeah, your time has been
spent. And then by the time I was, let's say, because I only started writing the word correct in 2004, really.
Wow, okay.
So, and then by the time in 2007,
you never
I
fucking know it, man.
In no time, I was in a high court case and I went to jail by the time I was 20. Like, in 3 years, that's all. From starting graffiti to that point, we did a lot in a short space of time, but not a lot in terms of the graffiti world.
Well, and you know what? If someone said to me, when did Quek start writing? I'd be like, I don't know, 99?
Yeah, no, later.
I was skateboarding. The amount of work.
Mm, I appreciate that. And like just the change and the changes.
Yeah. It just seemed to me like a lot. 3 years. Where you were painting in Manchester then?
Yeah.
Hardcore, everything you could do.
Again, I was, I did have that, which again, it's almost like I don't forget, I've documented, but like I was doing kind of a bit of everything. So I had like a proper piece style that I did do that stuff where, which probably some people remember, some people forget, where I did this like kind of like pretty serious graffiti piece and where they take a few hours and they were like a bit organic and they were really detailed. Yep. And I was really inspired by almost like really hard technical painting in them days. And then I do, there's a style I've always kept with, just like the round kind of fun, funky, you know, that kind of stuff. For more illegal stuff, because it's quicker and it was bigger and more bolder, which is what I've always kind of, that's been there forever.
Yeah.
But I did used to do, you know, like I was doing like street art stuff, like I did do paste-ups and I did do things where I'd like take things off, like I was taking lampposts off, doing really nice pieces and putting them back, even as a kid. And I've got all photos of that. And like electric boxes, I used to get the keys, take them off, take them home, do things that, you know, would take a day or 2 days, like there's no way you could do that
there
and then shove it back in the street. I did that for years. I used to make little tiles and like tile them onto shit. I remember
just wrap different things, or was there a consistent style?
With the sort of like the lamp as the street or stuff, I had this like little cat, like a little cat corner, like
Was
always thinking, I love cats. I've always related to that species more than, you know, so that was my thing. And then that was like really like anime Japanese style, that kind of thing. And I even did like Japanese graph, like I remember I went through a phase of like Google translating mad, like weird, like I was amazing. A mad kid, like weird poetry, and then writing it in Japanese on these freight trains and shit, but just like with tags. I've got all these photos.
And what what allowed you to do that, being a writer?
I was pretty, as a kid, the way I was brought up, like I'm not like a big hard tough guy, but my old man most certainly is that kind of character. He's like basically he's a known dude, but he's basically the northern version of Del Boy. He's a bit of a joker.
The fact that he owned chip shops, I didn't presume he'd be
And then he went on from that to selling antique fireplaces, because he said, well, why sell potatoes when I can sell marble? That, you know, no idea. That's the kind of shit you do.
Love it.
The guy's hilarious. And again, the whole Irish thing, I've got exactly the same name as him, just one word different. And then his dad's the same, and it's all this shit. It's fucking bonkers. But so I was, even though I was like a super small kid, I was like that short kid.
Yeah.
I was always dead confident. Not like overly confident. No. I thought it took more balls to do that. So in my brain.
Definitely.
So instead of doing like intimidating sort of like tough graph, which I did do a little bit of that organic stuff, I'd do the complete opposite. Stuff that was like almost like you might think like a female do it, like really sweet, really cute stuff. I just was doing it all like I wasn't bothered.
Did anyone say anything
at the start? Like I had the classic thing where like people from like Yorkshire didn't like me, and then like they're all my mates, but only certain people. I enjoyed that silly crossing each other out games, and I also, which was weird because I was dead small, I used to make a point of doing massive tags, so I used to like do these huge flare tags that were like the biggest thing, so people always thought I was then they meet me and then they were like, fucking all these tinies, like, and I was like, I've got these caps and I'm doing,
love it.
But then by the time I was like 20, I shut up, I'm not a tall guy. But yeah, it was weird, but I just wanted to get, the main thing for me was I wanted to get my personality on. My personality as a kid I knew was more than I just want to be this kind of, it was like I appreciated really good and old traditional art, same in music. I wasn't just a hip hop head. I was into all sorts as a kid, and I kind of wanted to promote my personality and the lineage of the change. That's why what's so good about being a musician or an artist or whatever, it's like I know that I'm just painting my personality. That's all I'm trying to do.
And I'm not even trying to do it. Allowed yourself to,
I used to do it maybe more for because I wanted to get it out or there, but like now it's just diary entries, I guess. And it's just experiencing it and appreciating it, and it's like, you know, it's like coming into your studio, like you look at certain things and like appreciating old photographs, appreciating like old inks, and you'd have that memory of like, oh, fucking hell, when I used to use that purple ink, and I used to use this, and that paint and that smell, and it's
time, man. Like, and using it is just fucking amazing. And I don't care how long things take. Also, a minute to me is quite long, but I don't care how long things take, because and what breaks are, whatever you,
same. Again, like we were saying before, if you're consistent in your approach and if it's just real, you know, some people are just knocking shit out. And like, I'm one of the people now. Like, if I'm not feeling it, I ain't going to do it.
Yes,
because it'll just show.
Yeah,
I don't want it to show because I don't even want to do it.
No.
You know?
There's certain part. It's just as you get older.
It is, in different...
It's nuts getting older in this culture because it does, you know, make you feel so young so often. But...
And it's really interesting what you're saying, because like I'm friends with like people I really looked up to. Like, again, so back to the Barcelona thing, I remember getting the train, and I've said this before, the first tag I ever realised before the Barcelona trip, that people were like picking a word and repeating it, was seeing Onek and M, who's the, you know, big hero of mine, big pal of mine. A lot of my style, the round style, is influenced from him, which is influenced for, you know, it's Manchester's got kind of its own style in its way, like its own taking of.
Yeah, it has.
But again, so I'm really lucky to be good friends with him. You know, he wrote to me in jail. It was the first time we kind of connected because in them days, again, even though it was like in terms of his days, he's been doing graffiti for, I don't even know, 40 years,
like
that. And it's like, I'm not even at 20. And it's like, so I consider myself a proper kid, you know, loads of generations before him. Mm. And it was just so nice for like, it was so good to get a proper older perspective. But again, it's like in them days, you couldn't go and ask people like that. Oh, you know, and like we used to see him painting and we'd be like, fuck that. Like we ain't going near him. Do you know what I mean?
And then he just reached out to you.
Got a letter off him and I was like, whoa, mad.
And because you were Manchester, you were doing your work.
And then he was like,
note.
Yeah, he like did like a piece for me. Like there was all this cool shit that went on. There was like things at the skate park and all, because I was still kind of, I come from that skating scene, kind of dropped off the skating scene, got really involved in graph, but was still around all them friends and all that kind of culture.
So what, that those 3 years that led you to prison, that was just...
24/7.
And then what led you, doing what artwork. Got you to prison? What did they get you on?
Unfortunately, if the truth is, just being very naive, we never got caught. We were followed for 2 years.
Fuck
And it was a really iffy case. Like I've spoken about it a lot, I've been interviewed a lot, from like proper normal newspapers to people doing art projects to, you know, other writers or whatever. But long and short of it's been described by, let's say, the British Transport Police themselves, and they've interviewed other people in the future, as like a bent case. They've described it like it was proper fishy. Like, the long and short of it was, there was 3 cases that year, and ours was the weakest. Ours was the least money. Blah blah blah. You know, there was another case for triple damage. They didn't get jail, which is great. There was another case for double the amount of damage, and the kid assaulted a police officer on bail and got caught doing a panel on bail and didn't go to jail. Wow. We were on trial for like a year and a half, and all the reports were like, they've stopped reoffending. They ain't doing anything. You know, we really kept our noses clean. We took it seriously.
Yeah,
we got fucked. I mean, the judge, my barrister said to me, worst case, you're looking at about 6 months, and the judge read me 3 years. And then went, but because of this, you know, blah, 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 the last 15 months, it was 15 months, you give me. But my barrister was like, worst case, you get 6. Like, the other thing to mention, so the guy I was with, I got raided, but let's say, when I was 19. He was technically 17.
Yeah.
They waited a week until he was... So I was in the September, they waited a week until after his birthday before Christmas so they could take him through an adult court. They knew who he was, and they did all that shit. So... it was iffy. It was an iffy case.
All for fucking next year's budget.
Yeah, that's what it was. But like I was saying before, you know, the scene was very different. Like, if you did graffiti in the city, it would be cleaned in a week. There was money to get rid of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, you go to Manchester, it's not been cleaned in years. There's tags that are like 5-6 years old, which is bonkers.
Mate, it'd be
like
relics. The same with the city, but my theory about that is because we've got a Tory government. Tories don't give a fuck about quality of life. They don't care about your quality of life.
Fair point.
Labour do. It's
a fair point.
And I'm a Labour supporter, but the city is cleaner under a Labour government. Conservatives allow our culture to blossom so much.
Yeah, you're fucking right. And that's the thing, which is amazing. But like we're saying, how things have changed. Like, it blows my mind that like kids have only been painting a couple of 2-3 years, just painting the street. They just do a piece in the street, which is great. But they don't give a fuck.
It isn't.
I know. And then you know, like the selfies in the yard, and you're thinking, I can't believe it. Like, I literally got my house raided.
Open to anyone to see.
It's just, I cannot get, nobody gives a fuck. But there's no money. Nobody's asked, or whatever it is. I don't know what it is.
No,
but it's
good. There is money. They just don't want to spend it.
Yeah, I think obviously.
You can see what they're doing with the nurses and everything.
I've actually never thought about that.
But that's my theory. I'm like, why the city's fucked, because we've got a Tory government. Yeah, they're happy. That's
like a living squalor. But it's not, you know what I mean? It's amazing.
No, it is.
It's fucked.
I was down the West End with Josh recently, and It was literally just layers of dubs and tags.
It's wild.
And you're like...
Well, it's like now a given culture, but obviously it's spoken about, but it's amazing how you can just wear a high viz and you can just paint shit in a day.
It's crazy. I mean, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I feel for people that don't, because they must be...
Mm. Yeah,
freaking the fuck out. But it's so
like,
scared.
That whole high vis thing, the only time you'd ever hear it being a thing years ago would be like, oh, if you're in the train yard, you wear high vis, or you wear the different colours in different countries, blah, blah, blah. Whereas now it's just like,
that's fucking a standard. And then, 2 year writer's got one.
Yeah, and then they're not even asked now. Like, fuck it.
It's
just like, wow.
So, that, I mean, your jaw obviously fucking dropped that day.
Did at that point, yeah. But again, as I got sent down, I put the piece size to all the BTP. I wasn't asked. I wasn't like, see you
go
later.
On, TJ.
Yeah. And then when you, there's a big thing, like right as you've been sent down, it's like, the actual prison side isn't that bad. It's like the getting to it, you're like, fuck. I remember like when I actually went down, you know, Manchester Crown Court's an old court.
Yeah.
And you just feel this fucking presence of like, fuck, you know, people have been down here for like hundreds of years.
Yeah,
like,
mouldy bricks.
Fucked. Mental. Like it was like underground. Somewhere it was bonkers. And then they put you in these tiny little holding cells.
Heart must have been
And
racing.
It was just like, 10,000 tags. It was sick. Like all scratched in, like some of them in the 60s, 50s. It was bonkers, all these wooden, just in this mad thing. But the reality of the situation for anybody that may have to go for graffiti or has been or is going or whatever, it isn't that bad. It is literally just like a film. Yeah. Everything about it's like a film. That's the way I described it. Everything. Just felt like you're in a film.
I mean, it's kind of fucking me up.
Yeah, yeah.
But your nature and the type of person you are must have helped you in there, because you're definitely not antagonistic.
No,
you're not.
No,
I'm
that
a
was
white
it.
Boy,
no,
you're very much. I'm TJ.
Yeah, totally.
This is me. This is my work.
Totally. And the mad thing is, so because of the age, I was 20, went to what's called the Young Offenders, which, as you can imagine, is full of the naughtiest 18-year-olds to 20-year-olds, all trying to prove a point.
Yeah, wild.
You know, and I just went in there, you know, me, and I was like, I'm not going to take any shit. Didn't take any shit, but. You know, I had long hair, and everyone was like, what the fuck? And he was like, I'm just fucking, you know. But it was wild because, you know, a couple of days in, it was on the TV. We got sent miles away because there was, like, prison strikes. It was all, you know, got these mad letters. So we were from Manchester, went to Lancaster, the holding. We're supposed to go round there or Blackpool because you're supposed to be in certain proximity to your parents so your family can visit your friends and family. But they were full. So we got sent to Durham, which was fucking miles away. I've never been to Durham in my life at that point. So we went to Durham. Not been there since, and we went to like a lot higher category prison than we were supposed to go because they're just doing everything full.
Oh my god, man!
But again, that was a good thing. It was you were in again with, let's say, more sort of seasoned people, and it was like it was just different. And I just came with a different approach, and I was like,
and the wildness had gone out of them, I suppose.
Yeah, and then
majority of it.
Yeah, but the mad thing was the novelty of it. It's like within 2 or 3 days. People like knocking themselves like, yo, you're on the fucking telly, we were on the news, we were being discussed on like fucking GMTV or whatever, straight up with bonkers sat in my cell like, whoa. I'd like photograph of me when I'm outside court or whatever, putting up photos of our graph. And the debate was at the time, there was two debates, because it was obviously people been going to jail for graph way before me, but it was like two kids, it was the year Banksy brought out Wall and Peace,
right?
And at the same day there was a guy in Manchester that like did bad shit, like some politician, and he got like half the time that we got, and it was like there was just this debate.
I think I remember all this actually.
Yeah, and like to the point where like Jermaine Greer wrote about us and shit. It was bonkers. Yeah, it was bonkers. We're getting all these letters through, getting all these newspaper clippings.
But was your sentence cut?
This was happened. So yeah, so all this kind of drilled up a bit of like movement.
Yeah,
and in fact, when we got sent down, my barrister, who was actually the same barrister that Onek used.
Okay.
She was like a bit of a graph specialist, but not really. But you know, nobody even really
without realising he becomes one.
Yeah. Well, she did his case. He was like, again, we spoke about it, and he sort of said, "Oh, you should maybe use a woman," but we weren't friends. And then the friendship started when he started, like, you know, getting in touch. But she was like, "We're immediately going to appeal it."
Yeah.
But the mad thing was, like, as soon as it got sent down, I realised instantly, she just spoke in this like mad robotic tone that she said 100,000 times, and I knew I was fucked. I knew I was like, oh shit, like, yeah, you can't do anything. And it was just like, we'll appeal it, you know, you'll probably get out after Christmas. And it was like summer, and I was like, okay, thinking fucking hell. But then it was just, I'm just a number. I was like,
you didn't
realise,
yeah,
just like, oh fuck, yeah, this is on you, this. Like, well, you know, it is, but you're like, you're on your own in there.
Were you with your mate?
Eventually, yeah. So not at first. Again, it was really fucked up for him because, which again, wasn't like the end of the world. But because everything was full, he actually got kept in like a police cell for like 3 days, which is totally illegal.
Oh my God.
Yeah, in like a really small one.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, it was all fucked up.
And but then, so you got 15 months.
Yeah, and then it went to after 2 months exact, he got a year, I got 15 months. I was old and done a bit more, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. You know, almost made to be his barrister tried to pin it all on me, basically, without saying anything to my brother. It was weird. So in the court, I was like, fuck, this guy's, seriously, it was bonkers. This guy was like, I was like, whoa. But anyway, wasn't his fault. He was just actually just trying to do what he's doing. And so, yeah, eventually we got put in Durham, we got in the same place. We were next to each other, which was fine, nice. Which was amazing because there was like a tiny crack in the wall and we could like post like fucking jokes for each other, like mad drawings. Like he'd post like big knobs for me, so I'd just hear this like, and I'd look and it'd just be like this massive bell end coming and I'd be like, fucking, and then I'd grab it off and he'd be like, you know, what are you saying? Like, if you're going, do you want to play pool or whatever? And I'd be like, yeah, and we'd like laugh about shit and post it. I've kept all the posting, funny as fuck, but like,
that must have been quite a relief having him next door.
It was good, yeah.
If it sounds like you handled it quite well. But
yeah, and again, it wasn't a long time, but again, it is a long time, and time flies.
Oh, mate, like the fact that you fucking had to stand in court, never mind about going to go and sit in a cell and then prison.
Man, we appeared like 4 or 5 times. It was so fucking weird. And like, again, with this whole fucking the BTV Instagram and it's a bent case, it's like we were supposed to get sentenced off this woman who was about 50.
Yeah.
And my mate at the time had like a broken leg or broken, I can't remember now, it was that long, a broken wrist. I think it was leg. He's on crutches. And this woman was with it.
Yeah.
And she couldn't sentence for some reason. Then we went back 3 months later and this guy with all this fucking wig on everything was like, oh, I've never had to do this, but I've got to stand down for this case because I've got a biased opinion. And it was like, right. And he'd worked in like prosecution for like railway stuff, like thieving. So he had this weird thing, like, oh, I can't do this because it's in my teachings to get to where I've got. And it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And my barrister, she was like, I've never, ever seen this happen in my entire life.
You get to
that
point because you're not going to be biased. Like, you've become so learned, apparently.
I wish I could go through the letters or find out what happened. But she said, I've never, ever had this organised and a judge is not because it's so. Then the next time we came, we literally got this, like, famous dude, like, infamous dude. That literally looked about 200 years old.
Oh no!
And he's like sent people down like for 2 years for like you texting on an aeroplane. This guy's like famously an arsehole.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was it. And just saw this fucking like looked like something out of fucking Lord of the Rings. I was like,
that's
fuck.
Done.
That was it. It was like, but the thing before that was there was loads of weird little things. And it's like I swear the first time I ever went into court, I saw that guy like waiting in the escalators. And these people like on the top of him. I swear, it was all iffy, well iffy. But it was just we were just kind of like. Wrong kid at the wrong time. Perfect example to speak.
I don't expect graffiti not to be a chargeable offence.
No, no, totally.
I fully get it.
It's a bane. 100%.
But this, like, I think especially as the majority of people who get caught are young, to do that to a fucking 18 to 20-year-old, like, to psychologically put a child, because they're children, your children.
So. That was the thing. So I used to look back as a mid-20 and then as an adult, I was like, you know what? It was all right, but I was a kid, and it's like, what the fuck? What them adults thinking? Like, that's
fucking
bangers. Unfortunately, I'm not going to name names, but people have taken their own lives. Who've done
It's ridiculous. You know,
and there was people in there when we were in there, be like, oh, such and such is not here anymore. And you'd be like, fucking hell.
It's such a dangerous and horrible thing to do.
Yeah, it's a wild one.
I remember when there was, it must have been early 2000s as well, in France, they started getting everyone.
Mm.
And I can't remember who it was now, but it was one of Cispio's pals from SWC.
Mm-hmm.
He got something like a €500,000 fine.
Oh my God.
Which is a fucker, but he was whole card nutcase. Like, he put the work in for a decade.
Yeah.
But he was like, all right, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I could go out and earn that money somehow. I don't know how he did it, but he's got to go and pay that off now for however long. That's like a mortgage, obviously.
Of course.
But the thing is that you kind of know, and he's a grown man by the time he got nicked. It's like, all right, hands up. He's so happy he didn't have to go to prison. Mm. It's like, this. If you think you're lying about how much you think I costed you for cleaning up, but whatever, that's another thing.
That goes on.
If I owe you 15 grand for painting the whole car, cool, put 20 on me.
Yeah, yeah,
put
20
on me, I'll pay you back.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, give me a mark, because if I catch me three times, send me.
That was what was weird. Like, that's why it was fine, and it's all good. In, I don't expect, if you paint trains in this country and you get nabbed, you're probably going to jail, and everybody knows that.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody did then, everybody does now.
Yeah.
Might get lucky now, actually, which is a good thing.
Maybe.
Yeah. But, yeah, maybe. But it's like, it was just that the amount of cost we were aware of where we were, that, you know, even we knew, and the barristers were like, worst case, you're getting this.
Yeah.
And when you get like triple that more, you're like, what? Like,
you fucking bastard.
Six months to 3 years is a big jump.
So when you came out, mm-hmm. what did you feel? Like, were you still, because you had connection with people, still letters and so on, you thought, I'm still in the scene?
Totally, yeah, it was bonkers. And luckily, as I mentioned before, we were talking, like, Dreff's a big friend of mine, and he moved to Manchester, and when I was like most active, he like noticed and reached out in the days when there was things like Photolog. So there wasn't Instagram, there's like these weird things, and he somehow managed to sort of go, oh, you know, I'm in Manchester now, do you want to paint? And he'd be like, fucking hell, yeah, of course. So
yes.
I hung out with him and painted, and he was really, he's always had a really good perspective on not only like graffiti, and he was like, listen, you're a young kid, you're 20 years old. He's like, this will be probably the one and only time you can do something, and you can tell, a newspaper will cover it. So he was like, you need to fucking rinse it out. That's what his attitude was. And he must have been, so if I'm, it's 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So he would have been a lot younger. I was a kid. So I took his advice because, you know, I was totally only immersed in art, like graph.
Yeah.
You know, that was all I was doing for an income as well. It wasn't why
so you got getting hired.
Yeah. So yeah. I was, you know, when I did like stuff for, you know, TV and all the, you know,
Wicked.
Again, like what's been going on in London for years, in Manchester it wasn't. Like there wasn't these big murals on the side of buildings. Now there's everywhere. And even in the sticks, everywhere. It's just, you know, it's changed.
Yeah.
But at that time, so that he was like, you should push it. And I was, part of me was like, you know, no, I just want to like keep to myself and like go a bit more, you know, just do my own art and this. But he was like, rinse it out for a bit. Because he was wise and was like, shit like that doesn't last. Yeah. It doesn't last. He's right. And it's like, if it's like on this hype world we live in now, somebody does like a massive project and you think, oh, fucking hell, he's made it.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, nobody gives a fuck. Like, it's that much. It's just, nobody
it's
gives a fuck.
Scary.
If your quality of work's amazing, then it'll have longevity. But if you do like a big fucking thing for something, like say you did a big collab with like the most famous brand on the planet, 6 months, nobody gives a shit.
2 weeks,
yeah,
2 days.
Totally.
The next swipe. That's why I fucking hate it. And not.
So in them, he was more like, use it to your advantage just to get a bit of a profile for yourself.
So this is after prison?
After prison, yeah. Which, so I did. So I did loads of like commercial works. I did a bad thing, which was a good thing. I did a job for Man City, but I'm a Man United fan.
Okay.
But it was a big job. It hurt a lot. But my other thing that I do, which I now do for money, is I'm into buying and selling vintage cars.
I've heard.
And that was the first, with that job, I bought my first car. Oh, so I was 20, bought this cool old MG from the 60s. Fucking drove it around for a year. It was fucked.
Because you loved it?
Loved it. Just everything is design. It's never about speed. It's as a kid, I've always liked old cars. Same design. A lot of like, my graph shapes are really informed by that, and art stuff is informed by like car design. I know all the car designers, not all, but you know,
amazing,
nerded out on all that shit.
So that was going along the same time as the skating and the graphs. There was his love for cars,
love for just design. All design, but yeah, cars is always a thing.
And then you got that money and you're like, fuck it, I'm
got that money. You know, at the time, still a kid, 20, I was like living with my ex at the time, so didn't have a lot of outgoings. Bought this car, couldn't afford to have it. Like it was shit.
I can imagine
shit
it must have fucking been.
But this is it. And then, like the graph world. So after a year, I managed to like fix all this shit on it. And I met this old guy. Like I didn't know anybody about anything. You know, if things broke, I'd be like, oh, fuck. No YouTube.
No.
Nothing. And so met this guy, and he was like, you got to replace everything new. And I was a kid, I couldn't afford to. So I was like, fuck this. So I got rid of it, got my money back. And then I looked at like about 10. Before, with the same amount of money before, because he was like, you need to look at this, you need to look at the inside of the doors, you need to do this. So I looked at loads and they were all shit because I was buying on a budget.
Right, yeah.
I found a good one, and my whole work premise at that point was I was doing youth work, I was doing like my own artwork, I was doing anything I get my hands on commercial wise, like you know, whatever, a little bit of graphic design, but mostly all mural painting.
Keep it self-employed.
But I've always bought and sold, again, mentioned with my background, my dad's always like, at school I'd always like buy and sell, you know, never anything bad, but I'd always I'd get all some fucking iPods or somewhere and sell them or whatever it was. And that was always how I made money. I'd buy trainers and sell them, or I'd buy fucking stuff from fucking charity shops and sell it for more. So, or furniture. I sold all sorts of mad shit. So I sold this car the second time round and made money. And thought, fucking hell, right, if I ever make any money, I'll just do that. And that's what happened. And then
I didn't know it went that far back. I thought this was quite five years, maybe.
So there's all sick photo, like old photos of like thinking about Christmas time. I always do like a Christmas, like I can't even think of something, but this is like a, it's like a super famous Hulk car with the Santa Claus. It's in New York. I can't think of the two pieces, but I always nick that colour scheme. Right. The red, so like the yellows with the red outline,
yeah.
Blue background, white, just proper like classic 80s, late 70s, early 80s, like every year do that.
Wicked.
And there's all old photos of like me and a picture of that guy, legend from Nottingham Cruel. So me, Cruel and Onyx, and that car's there, that first car.
Oh, amazing. What
and I've got a little orange for sale sign in the back of it, driving round, and that photo's there, and it's like snowing, and we did this snowy wall in them colours, and so it goes back, like So the car thing, I just, so now, which I'm in a position after so many years where I don't rely on artwork to make
you
money.
Don't have to.
Don't do it at
That's
all.
Brilliant.
So if I do the odd commission here, and I do the odd commission somebody or painting here, or projects, like I've been doing a lot of work with, well, not a lot, but hopefully going to turn into a lot of work with Salford FC, which is like the footy team, United players like bought and really like, and their ethos is really good. They're doing really cool
shit. United players bought it?
It's owned by like Gary Neville, David Beckham. They're all big shareholders in it.
Wow.
There's overseas investors as well. But
yeah. They've come
in. It's like a thing on Sky at the minute.
I don't find a football at all.
No, it's fine. But it's a real, real good team.
Wicked.
So Salford FC.
So you're working with them?
A little bit, yes. It's like, there's not much money in it, but I'm not asked. It's like what they're about and what they want to do.
Yeah.
So I'm more asked about getting involved in things that I can get behind.
So you've managed to, like, coming out of prison and then taking Nique's advice about just fucking get that work in now because it will pay off.
Mm-hmm.
It worked in a way.
Yeah,
obviously, you're still on the journey. You're
totally
still
on the journey. And like,
but you, by finding the cars thing, it allowed you to really take your foot back.
Yeah, and the thing that's worth mentioning, again, it's like that same as a lot of people will understand. It's like when I was a kid, I could put all my time into skateboarding. When I was a bit older, put all my time into graffiti. I couldn't put all that time into graffiti unless, I got a letter off the High Court saying, if I get caught again, I'm getting 5 to 10 years.
Oh,
so that's from the High Court, yeah. I've got that in writing. If I'm getting done in this country for that or whatever, you're getting 5 to 10 years. That was from these three main judges in the High Court. That's what it says. So it was a bit like, you fucked up. We let you off this time, but if you do it again, we're really going to fuck you.
Like they fucking let you off, the bastards.
Yeah. But like, it's interesting. The first, like the main heads, it says in the transcripts, like they never should have gone to prison. That's what they said when they reviewed the case. That's what the three main heads said. They were like, this is fucking bullshit. Like for the money cost, basically.
Same as Inns Are Unknown.
Mm, yeah.
Same type of thing happened to
them. Totally. And there was a guy in Scotland, same thing happened, good mate of mine, went jail, big massive sentence, he appealed it, let him out. Waste of time and money. But yeah, so back to that, it was like I could put a lot of time into this car thing. So I could put a lot of time into making art, a lot of time in it, because, you know, doing the graph thing 24/7, as we've all done, it takes a lot, whereas you've got a lot of time, you can make a lot of time, and you know.
I mean, I set up my business in 2001, and then 2003 opened the shop. And
I remember.
I remember
hearing all about it.
Having the shop and having a business, and it's all within the world and there's a lot of commissions and that. It gave me the opportunity to try and be an artist slowly in the background for many years. And I've sold a lot of paintings in my gallery, but they've all been that work you would sell type of shit.
Yeah.
Not my art as such, but just having a business that allowed me to just paint when I want. It's a fucking touch, man. It's a lovely thing to be able to do.
And
it's great. My two businesses interact. My art world, my art interacts with my business, which is I'm lucky for. But
you made it happen. But
I have. But I if anyone ever says, "Oh, how'd you do it? How'd you make the longevity?" Says, you just got to find something that pays you, because your art isn't going to pay you.
No.
And try to not expect it to. And when it does, it's brilliant.
That was it. And I never wanted it. And that's the thing. I remember being in that point before I really got into the car game. Which again, I'm just a one-man band. I employ an old boy who's in his 80s, who's mint.
Amazing.
I'm not that much of a mechanic, just me and him, that's it.
Brilliant.
I do all the, you know, I buy the, and it's more like antique dealing, basically.
Yeah, I bet, I can imagine.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But long and short of it, I don't really know what I was going with that, but like...
It's having something there to enable you to be an artist. I was talking to someone the other day, I think starving artists is a very romantic thought. I just don't even know if it's possible anymore.
Nah.
You wouldn't be able to live on the streets.
No,
there's no like lodge houses or £40 a month rooms.
No. Or like communal art spaces for loads of hippies to go moving all
over. Exactly, for no cost. And so I don't even think starving artists is a real thing. And I think some people I've watched over these 20 next year I celebrate 20 years of being of Rare Kind as a business.
Wow.
And I've watched so many people come and go and who haven't wanted to just work, just at the same time, just work.
Yeah.
Just get a job because you can stay with it.
Yeah.
And what happens if they don't get a job and then they lose faith in their art, they then go off into the world and then they just turn
get
their back on their art.
Yeah,
and
it swallows your personality, it swallows you individually.
Yeah. I think it's another thing with the social media, it makes people think that you've just got to go 100%. It's not possible.
No, you're totally right.
It's wicked the longevity it can bring you by being part of everyday life.
Mm-hmm. But it was amazing. Again, I had that lucky, like, to have, you know, I can't think of the word, but, you know, people I looked up to, like Nikwe and all these people, well, like Dref. But like I was saying, and I watched them doing things they didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And I already knew I didn't want to do that. And I got to that point where, you know, I was just doing loads of what I didn't want to do. I was doing, like, commissions I didn't want to do.
It
was affecting me wanting to do my own work. Yeah. And I remember thinking, this isn't why I got into any of this. So that's when I started to focus a bit more on making money a different way.
Yeah.
Because it's like when you put all your efforts into it, it kind of happens, you know.
It's very clever, man. It's a fucking, and it's wicked that it's another love as well.
Totally. Yeah.
It's not just like a sideline you come across or.
Yeah, I'm not selling like fucking washing up liquid or whatever.
No, which is fine and brilliant if that's how you make your dough.
Yeah, I would do.
Brilliant.
Could, but.
But the fact is, you managed to find that thing you love.
Yeah, that was again the beauty of it. It's like, again, my old man always bought and sold whatever he could, chips, fireplaces, whatever. But he didn't love chips, he didn't love fireplaces. No. He just loved money.
He's good.
So I was like, I was like, if I can do it in my own style, that's even better for me. Not because it's like, but again, it's like I want to be immersed in my thought process, my, you know, constantly.
Yeah.
So then it will help, you know, it'll help put out the right work when it needs to be put out there.
So then, like, over the last, like, 15, 20 years then, it's just been this constant flow of all types of work still. You've just been able to
producing. Yes and no. There'll be times when I really just want to be doing my own stuff and I'll go for a stage and just doing, like, I'll be painting on wood loads and I'll be using oils for a bit and then I'll go, like, more. I've never really done, like, graffiti based I've always kept that way, like, I've never really done, like, my name on canvases and shit, like, ever. I've never really wanted to. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there isn't. I think it's wicked though that the start of your career that you were so brave to experiment as well, do what you did in graph, but then
I wanted because I just didn't, which was, it was cool, but there was a lot of, not even in the world, well, maybe in the world, they're just not even like masculinity or top. It was just like there were so many rules and so many rules needed to be there, but there's so many ones that just didn't need to be
didn't
there, I didn't think.
Like,
I never, it's like, and it's not that weird thing how, like, you know, people would be massive hip heads and then you see them 10 years ago and they were like big rockheads and it's like, well, they probably love both at the same time. Like,
and it's
just
fine.
Be honest, it's totally fine. And like now it is fine.
Yeah.
But that wasn't fine then.
It
was not
we thought,
and it was like,
it was hard
and,
for you to be honest about it.
But again, I did have weird rules where I wouldn't use stencils because at the time that was like no go.
Yeah.
So I was biased. I wasn't like, I'll do anything. It was like, I had my own rules, but I also just wanted to put my truth out there.
I suppose it comes to the point that one of the beginning points of your career is just that you had that confidence, inner confidence, not cocky confidence.
Totally, yeah.
You were like, I can try this, I can do this, I can explore this.
Yeah, mad things, like I say to a few people, like, I'm like everybody, most people have graffiti, have vices, and I've always drunk a lot, again, my dad, the Irish thing, whatever, but I've like never taken drugs ever.
Oh, wow.
And I've also never smoked a cigarette ever.
Amazing, like, and you drank.
Seriously, I drank all the years, but like, and again, there was reasons for that, like mainly because all the lot smoked loads of weed, did loads of pills, and I was just like, nah. And I also knew my addictive person. I was like, if I get into that, get into that.
Yeah.
The smoking I was put off because I had asthma as a kid, but again, like, we had a mate who ended up in a nut house for weed psychosis, and seeing that, I was like, so it wasn't this simple. It just, I always had that inner confidence to be like, everybody like, come on, what are you getting? And I'd be like, nah, not for me. Like, I'm not asked, and everyone would be cool with that. And I didn't feel like, oh, I need to do that to get involved, you know.
It's calming. But your reverberation to other people, I don't know about you, but like the reverberation out, and I don't mean to lift him, but it just, I think by you behaving like that is calming influence. And I'm finding it quite calm the way you are.
I appreciate that.
I can imagine Dref and everyone else on it and that feeling that as well. And that's why you got the attention to say, no, he can.
Yeah, I just didn't want to. It's like anything, it's like you say, like the older you get, it's like if people aren't being real, you can just tell.
Yeah.
You can just feel it.
Yeah.
Without even like, you just feel if somebody's full of shit or talking shit or like, you know. And I've just got no time for it. It's just a learning curve.
Sorry about that. Took a little break. You didn't miss anything. Just picking up here.
And it looks like that, but thick, like gel, like jelly. But it's that kind of colour, and it does exactly the same thing with the oil. But it's amazing.
It's
so
smooth, yeah.
But it makes it like so. Like how you do like overlaid stuff, yeah. You know, like the shades of colour changes,
yeah.
Mate. So you can, instead of stopping that line,
you just go.
Because, but you can literally like 50% of pass it, almost like you can like, right, and then you can test it, and it's like, and then you can smoothen it. That's kind of how I did that bubble thing, and then it dries, and then you could get yellow, and it would go green. You know what? It's fucking amazing. I'd happily like show you. I'll tell you.
Because
it took me a long time to figure that out, but it was like, it's dead obvious, and you're like, shit. Because basically, all oil is pretty. It's like not opaque. It's really transparent. So it kind of does it anyway, but it's like. You can, the way to get like strong colours like that. So say you wanted to paint that in oil yellow, even on white, take your fucking days. So the key is you do acrylic it underneath in a similar colour.
Yeah,
then that thin layer over.
Richard Wilson do that actually.
That's the way to do it. But then like I say, so say you wanted to exactly that, you could just do it in that thin.
Put your one colour down and the second colour and it'll give you
go
the
over it. Just
same.
like a print, like it's fucking amazing. That's really like that. Just looks like it takes ages to dry. It looks amazing, but it's like, fuck. Like.
I mean, it's. I say it takes ages. Like I can hit a second coat in a day.
Okay.
I can do the first coat in the morning and hit a second coat in a day.
And is it a case of light first and then building the dark on top, or is it not really?
I do like that way.
Yeah.
But I think another great thing about enamel is that it's so thick, sometimes it doesn't matter.
Does it not? So you could just like put a lighter red on that light red.
Yeah.
And it would be pretty good.
Oh, it'd be perfect. And you could even put a light red on top of the dark red and it would work.
Wow.
It's so nuts. You might want to put two coats on it, but like this sculpture up here, this has got like, this, I'm
amazing.
Doing like the second or third coat on it now.
What is it actually painted onto? What?
I made it out of plaster.
Sick.
And then
that looks like it goes on really nice.
Oh, it's like a dream.
Amazing.
Yeah, so shellac sealed all the plastic.
Amazing.
And gave me this smooth surface.
Again, like in how graph goes weird, like years later, I've met him painted with eggs.
God, massive inspiration.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I can't, like, the fact that somebody like him, like, even knows my tag, I'm like, what the fuck? I'm mad. Like, this, what are you on about? Like,
how?
Yeah, I'm like, how?
But talking about, like, I was at our mutual friend Andy Cook's house many years ago, 2012, maybe 2013, and I'm walking down the stairwell and I see this painting. I didn't know it was by you, and my jaw dropped, man. And it was Onward Circle. It was just this mix of colour, and I think even had wood towards the centre of it as well. Like, so
I know
it
the
wood.
It's painted on wood, and then I've made the bottom of it look like wood.
Yeah. Oh, just, yes, you did.
Yeah, and then that's got a shadow.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a bubble thing. Man,
I fucking bit the hell out of that.
Man.
It stayed with me, man. It stayed with me for years. Till I got through to what I do now.
Wow.
What you did stayed with me for years.
That's
actually
incredible.
There's a painting over there with the shadow underneath. It's a
Yeah.
That's correct.
Sick. Well,
I didn't bite you, but that painting was so amazing, and I see a lot of art all the time, and it was nuts how much it stayed with me. And when I found this style,
it's amazing.
Happened,
yeah, I love it.
And I'm sure it's just been like, that information.
I can completely understand what you're saying. I really, really appreciate that. You know, I didn't expect that at all. But it's like I can see exactly the same thing with like my graffiti being close to like Onyx. It's just looking, and it's like close
school.
To Car 123, and it's like it's all the things I'm really influenced. Yeah. And I've not like gone, because it's none of that. I don't do that shit. Because again. You can't, A, the rule, you never do that. And B, it's like graph, it's like, it just stands out a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
It's awful. It's like, you know, it's like a guitarist who can't play the fucking guitar. It's like, dude.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah.
But the whole art thing, like, I didn't know this about you, but it's wicked hearing it. So you were confident enough to just start trying different things as the years went on.
Yeah, and the main thing was, a kind of a problem and also a good thing, it's like, so as I was saying earlier on, when I was like a bit young and doing other shit and I had like a, almost like a bit of a street art kind of logo. As soon as I kind of started to get known for that, I just did it. And that was just, and it wasn't because I was like, I was being interesting or mystic. I was just done with it. I was just like, I didn't want to do that. And you know, in loads of ways you could do that. And like, there's loads of people that do that and they're amazing. And they develop that. But it was like, I'd almost get so far with something. And then I would use that kind of, that world into other stuff. But I would just, I just didn't want to. And then it's like,
I suppose timing would happen. Yeah, done so much of it, people sort of liked it, but you were like, oh, I'm done now.
Yeah, I go through phases where I haven't for a while, but like, I'll do a certain style of painting with this on water, where this these circles, and then, you know, did them balls of wool, and then it's like, I can't even imagine myself doing anything else. And then all of a sudden, it's like, I'm never going to do that again.
Yeah,
and it's not decided; it just happens.
Yeah,
and I might go back to it.
I'm finding but it's quite hard at the minute, actually. This break between painting and sculpture. Mm. I made this one first.
Amazing.
And it fucking blew my mind when I did it. And
I've never made anything that looks crazy. It
took me 6 weeks and
wow,
proper labour of love. But that's been on the wall now for maybe a month.
Yep.
I've never had that before.
Right.
I usually just paint.
Sick.
So I haven't actually, and I've made, I think I've done 5 now, 6 sculptures. Small.
It's like we were talking before, I haven't said how good would, if you could somehow start doing that with like glass.
Oh, mate.
And paint on the glass. Oh, and of course. You know, what the fuck? Or like, this is or the like thing, use some of the mix the glass and then like, paint with something like.
Going into this world, it's nuts, isn't it? You do, you get to a point and you're
ceramics,
like,
oh,
next.
Know.
What? It's, we're in the lucky position. So you just kept on.
Hmm.
You just keep on making.
Yeah.
Do you call yourself an artist?
I do. Like, I've been an artist since I was a kid, but good. I think, like, to a certain, not sound cheesy, but to a certain extent, it kind of everybody is in their own right.
Yeah,
like, I have been focusing, with, like you say, the world swallows up a bit. I'm fucking 35, I'm still fucking paying rent.
Yeah.
It's like, so in the last...
I'm 42, three, I'm still paying rent.
Yeah, so in the last few years, I've, like, concentrated a lot on the car thing to try and get myself to a position where I could, good, like, get a little flat. But then as soon as I can do that, I think, oh, fucking, I'm not bothered. I don't need it anyway. I'm not that kind of guy.
Yeah.
So I have focused a lot on building that for the last 3-4 years.
That's good, know, man. That's
but
good.
That's the truth. It's not like, and you know, and it's like, that's what I'm trying to get to, a place where I've got a really good permanent studio again. Because again, every studio has always been a compromise.
Right.
It's like, I'd love to have, like, something like this would be amazing. And that's what I need, what I'm working towards. I've been working to go, instead of like, I'm going to just keep going up this fucking mountain, which I want to be going up, you know. It's not like,
no, it's all part of it.
Yeah,
it's all part of like, it. You have to go through that to decide, I want to do
this. And it's like, kind of, again, that more experienced perspective where you're like, I've been doing the same thing, like, you know, and it's like, no, if I give myself some time and then I get myself in a really good working environment, I can produce great work.
Yeah, and keep it moving.
Yeah, rather than like, yeah, I don't know, you know.
It's,
like,
but the thing is, man, it's good to fucking, like, if you want to do this forever, you've got to take your time slowly. Like,
totally.
You've got to make it happen.
Yeah.
You've got to prepare yourself for it.
No.
When I shut my gallery, it took me 4 years to get a studio. So I was working from home.
Yeah, because I mean, I can imagine, but that shift of like, you've been doing that for so long, it's like your world's changing.
Oh,
it's the same world, but it's not. It's like, what the fuck? Like,
it went upside down, and then working from home, I was like, oh, this isn't good enough.
Yeah.
Going out for coffees that I didn't really need to go out for. I just blatantly just wanted to get out of the house.
Of course, it's life. But yeah, no, it's. But again, like you're saying about that moving thing, it's like, I get really passionate. Like, I've never actually made anything like physically 3D, but I love the idea. And I'm looking at that, and then I'm like, oh man, if you did that on glass, that'd be sick. Or if you did it in ceramics, and it's like, just looking at it, so it's like, never mind you doing it. It's like, there's just so much you can, you know.
It's,
like,
it's,
that shit with a hole in, that's amazing. Like, doing it with a hole in, it's like, whoa. Yeah,
they're,
like,
all,
you could,
they're all based on that. They're all, they're links.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't see that.
And I filled it with...
And it's like this... Is it dry?
Yeah. I filled it with expanding foam. That's
why
it's got weight to it.
Oh,
so
sick.
So they're just hollow. They're made out of chicken wire first and then plaster.
Ah, okay.
I love that expanding foam shit.
Hollow. But the expanding foam is like... Teach told me about it.
Genius.
I poured it in and I'm like, oh my God, amazing. It's fucking...
Was it going...
Weird. It was so good. So I did like the wire frame.
It feels so good.
And then I put paper mache and poured the stuff in.
Fuck, man.
But it's crazily solid. The other ones I've made haven't been solid.
Yeah, it's... have you got like a go-to like colour palette? I haven't really.
No.
And I change all the time. Like, I...
Oh, God, I don't.
Yeah.
The closest I get to a colour palette is those Japanese books, which I keep right by me all the time. They're here, yeah.
But again, I really like, as I may imagine you do, where, like, no idea. Oh, sick.
So this is basically, mate, go further in, look.
Whoa.
So this is from a Japanese colour palette book that was written 18
right, yeah. And they know.
And these colours work, go.
Yes.
These colours work, go. And so they've got 2s, 3s and 4s. And I've used these a lot over the last few years. It's fucking stunning.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's always like...
So there's like the 4s together.
Have you ever done like watercolours as well? Have you ever
No, I've never.
Wow.
I've got... It was... Graffiti, and then whatever I could touch.
Yeah, yeah. But
so it's, you know.
But yeah, I've played around with all sorts of stuff, and it's like, I didn't really do like kind of graph sort of artwork, but I did go through a phase of, you know, like the classic like alcohol markers doing a thing. Mm. I did them, but using like watercolors, and it's like, yeah, do the outline of the piece in a brush, which would take forever. Wow. But some of the stuff you can do is incredible.
I bet.
Because it's like, you can do that kind of like early Heinz Edelman shit, you know, like the guy did Beatles shit. You look at some of his watercolors, it's like it looks like this, but it's blending.
It
looks like your work, but it's like, and you've got that intensity. So I've played with watercolors, I've done stuff like that, and it's like, I get really excited. But the reason that reminds me, they used to have all these Japanese watercolors because they're always the best ones. Like,
I think like the whole, yeah, the color thing's hard, and even with my
graph,
I could never keep to a simple palette. Like, it would always be fucking wild. My mates would be like, fucking OD.
Yeah.
But now I can kind of embrace it with this work. It's amazing. It doesn't matter. It's just all colour.
Again, interestingly, when it comes to like graph letters, I've gone the opposite. I've always been shit. If I've got, I mean, not like it, I'm good either way, but it's like, I prefer my stuff if I've literally got bare, hardly colours.
Yeah.
Always use black and white, always use, because I get lost. And it's like, with the, I've never really been like a fill guy. Some people are amazing at doing that. Yeah. Amazing. And I've never been great
on
it. Yeah, exactly. But I've always been like, I do like a fill and outline, maybe add a bit on top of it or whatever. I'm always, yeah. When it comes to that, I want to keep that as simple as it is, I think. For now.
Yeah, I can see that in your paintings, actually. I know what you mean. I've always been, just fucking wild, throw as much in as possible.
Yeah, sick. I've tried that and failed massively.
I do find myself fighting my paintings, though. It's quite, the one I did up the road here.
Yeah, it looks sick.
I did that and I was like, 2 hours in, and I was like, this is a fucking fight. This is going to take ages. Yeah,
where do I stop?
Yeah, and you've just got to beat it.
Yeah. But then again, the beauty of talking to somebody like yourself is like, years ago, that'd be a nightmare, wasn't it? It's like, you kind of enjoy the challenge.
Oh, God.
Because it's a different thing. It's like.
And it's not an everyday anymore.
No. Whereas it was just a given. Yeah.
Before it was our life, it was every day. And like,
pissing it down, and you're like,
Jesus Christ. That was a day off.
Yeah.
Painting
up. Going out.
Wicked.
New pair of shoes. Absolutely fucked from a pair. New jacket. fucking hell. Now it's just like,
weird. I've got painting clothes. Yeah. As an adult, I've got painting clothes. Yeah.
But again, it's like.
Still though.
It's little things like. It happens. Younger people are just not even on it. It's like, you couldn't even walk in the train station with like paint on your or paint bag. It's like, whereas now it's like, nobody gives a fuck. People buy shit that looks like that. Do you know what I mean?
They do.
All the little things that change, so it's like, I was saying, they're not in a bad way. And again, I'm not one of these people that's got a problem with the police. Like, I'm not like, fuck the police or whatever.
Whatever, do their job.
Yeah, totally. But little things like, coppers just have tattoos nowadays. Yeah. We're allowed tattoos. It's like, what the fuck?
I'm waiting to see the hand tattoo.
Totally.
I'm waiting to see that.
Yeah, what the dot? Yeah, the dot started fucking.
Or a rose over the.
Yeah.
You just see a copper with a fucking rose on his hand, and you'd be like, what?
Yeah. It's gonna happen,
he's out
man.
There.
Yeah, of course. Fucking.
He's out there.
It's just amazing how things are just so different.
But it's wicked properly meeting you, man. And I know you weren't like. If you are all about social media, that's brilliant, and I don't mind.
No,
I'm not, and I think
I'm totally not.
Meeting you and knowing you're not all about it, and so there's this consistency of work and making things happen. And as I said, I thought the cars thing was just a few years in, but to know that's what's been sustaining you, wicked.
It has been
it's grounded you and enabled you to.
Yeah,
I think this is the other thing as well, which is quite clever, is that it wasn't in the scene. You were doing something completely different. It's helping your brain work.
I wasn't doing the classic the classic graph hustles.
Yeah. And I think
which are great.
But I think the point is that if you can, like, the separation of things is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, the more you can do it and be honest to yourself.
Totally. Totally.
The better your life will be.
Yeah. And again, it's just such a different world, isn't it? And there's like loads of people like in the graph world that would like, and it's almost like when you're eating all these rules, like you've got to do something related to you. It's like, nah, like, if you want to fucking do a job that's got nothing to do with it to make money to do your shit, that's great.
It's the best thing, man.
It's great.
The best thing. Whenever, obviously, people got to do it. And with art and your opportunities you run into now, as you say, you kind of like, you don't pick and choose. I can't imagine.
No, I don't pick and choose. I'm not near that level. But
it's.
I'm in a good place at the moment.
You're in a world where it's working.
Yeah, it's working for me is the main thing rather than, and I don't have that need to feel like I need to be putting this out there and doing it. It's like I say, doing this project that could grow into something really good with Salford FC, it's like, the reason it's come about is the guy was like, let's do some work and hopefully you can design the third kit. And I was like, that'd be dope. Oh, I'd love to design a football kit.
And this is all and part of the legacy, though. This is all.
Yeah, it's like, just, and I'd love to, again, then I'd love to like start nerding out about the printing techniques you could do and it may potentially, and looking at the classic kits that I used to love as a kid and all this kind of shit and stuff that's related to sulfur or whatever. So it's something that I've never done. You know, it's like if somebody approached me and said, oh, do you want to do a stained glass project? I'd be like, fucking yeah.
Did you study? Right.
No.
So you left school?
Left school, did 1 year of college, graphic design.
Yeah.
And by the time it was like ending, I was already doing this youth work. I'd done like a few, I was a skateboarder, so I'd done like a few skateboard designs for like smaller little local companies and I was buzzing about that.
Lovely.
Met, I ended up doing one for like the only kid I've ever looked up to when I was a kid, like as in, oh, this, there was this guy, Joe Gavin, skateboarder, right. Manchester legend. And like I did a skateboard for him.
Wicked.
Like a year's later, we're pals. But
amazing.
That was a big deal because I was like, he was the only kid that I was like, yo, that guy's sick.
And especially being
and he was just a skateboarder. Yeah, he was just, he was like, he's done his own thing.
Yeah.
Since he was 15, whatever, and he's never stopped. He never changed. Love he's it. Like, professional skateboarder, never fucking did all the comps and all that bullshit. Just stay a street skater, stealth street skater, best style. So he was a big inspiration, like, as a, in a different way. Like, I was like, he can just do his own thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I love this. I love therapy. Right? I've been in therapy for 3.5
Amazing.
Years.
Amazing. Yeah, I've done a lot of therapy.
My partner's a therapist. She's a psychodynamic therapist. It's like really big part of my world. And I find myself looking at writing a lot, graffiti a lot, a bit different now. And I've got to be careful because I get a bit judgy as well. And I don't mean to be a judge.
No.
But I just think I think it's so important that we go through that culture and we, you know, utilize what it teaches us, but we do transition through it.
Definitely.
Like, I've got the utmost respect for all the kings of the graffiti scene.
Sick. They've never changed since they were 15 and they're still
twatting. And they're still at it.
Amazing.
I think as a human being, the getting closer to knowing yourself is much more important.
Yeah.
That's and something. I don't mean to sound like if anyone's listening, they're going to get pissed off. I'm not talking about, I am. I'm talking about every writer, but I just, my ideal, not the ideal, not the one that's written in law that everyone should follow. My own personal ideal is that you do get to learn and experience, because culture is amazing for human beings because it teaches us much more than they teach you in school. Or it's so human, culture and art. It's so natural. If you can experience it and then also find yourself in it, I think it's amazing. And, as I said, like, this is wicked sitting with you because I know you a bit.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that I didn't know you.
Same.
And I love the fact that it's just been photos and a bit of talk and like, fuck, look at that painting. Or, oh, look, we're going to set up this little Manchester agency. Let's see if we can get him on it. And just that really small bits. And but it's like, I love the fact that you've,
But again, it's like in little things, like I love to, that same reaction is like, obviously there's some infamous video clips I've seen you in which are sick and various ones. Wicked. And obviously with our friend who passed away and all that kind of history. And I'm like, wow, fucking hell, mad. It's amazing. But little things within that, it's like you're saying about the early rare kind of stuff. It's like, I remember you doing an early print for me and really struggling. We've struggled with it.
Oh, God, yeah.
And now it's like, I'm looking at what you're doing. I'm like, fucking hell. And it's like, I've never been able to do a good screen print. I still can't. I don't even try because it's fucking hard.
I was trying.
It's hard. Yeah, I remember it. Sick. And then, and just some of the stories that have come from that, like a good friend of mine was like, oh, yeah, I got one of them. Like, it was in the studio, it was in the bin, and I felt bad that I, like, nicked it out because it wasn't that bad. And I was like, sick. And, like, I've, like, swapped art with him and shit since. And I'm like, no, it was great.
I was printing at a print club then, so there was literally about 50 people there all the time.
I had a phase of
I remember someone telling me they knew you there.
Yeah. I think it's Scouse friend.
That's
the story.
It's really
sick, man.
I think it's important to transcend, and that's my own opinion. And you're kind of personally reaffirming it for me because, like, you're doing it, like, and there's this longevity to it.
Yeah, and it's like, again, just like I said before, like, so lucky to have different kind of mentors that maybe didn't know my mentors. You know, like people I looked up to.
Yeah.
And what Anik did is completely different to in the graph world to what's been like. Dress done.
But
two really good perspective and taking really good, you know, and like just dead fortunate that there's so many really good people around, you know, and that are at that level in their career where they're happy to sort of open up to people who are willing to listen, you know, rather than somebody who's just not arsed or whatever.
What's the Manchester scene like now? Is it
super active? There's loads. Yeah. Like I say, the young kids, not young kids anymore.
There's
like,
all things going on though. All sides going on. Yeah.
All sides going on. I wouldn't say so much in like kind of pushing it in like the art world or that kind of stuff. There's nothing really like that going on from memory.
There's
a lot of, not really. No, that's something I want to work in on because I've done a couple of like solo shows. That's the way I want to go, and I want to do stuff with people as well. But there's something really good about, you know, really working on something doesn't have to be for a long time, but you know, just putting it all in one room. It's like coming into this room and it's, you know, it's not all just your work, but there's so much there and it's just amazing. There's so much history and it's like, oh fucking hell, no way have you got one of these and this, that and the other. But it's really good to like, you know, come with a concept and to be honest, that's what I've been working on the whole time. Like I've got a plan. This whole car thing, I've like documented it from the start and I kinda wanna create an exhibition around that.
Amazing. But it's like, merge the two in a way.
But it's not about me as such. Yeah, it's not like an ego thing. It's kind of the opposite. So I've been thinking and working on this for a long time. It's just how to, it came with a small idea.
Yeah.
Because basically I've done one solo exhibition in my hometown. Like I did loads of stuff in Manchester. I've done stuff, you know, in Lisbon and New York and I've sent work and it's been really cool. But I wanted to do something like where I grew up. And
Wicked.
It was like, and the main thing was, it wasn't even like a good art gallery, but the space was really good. So
lovely.
I was like, if I can do it here, I'll do it here. So the guy was like, that's cool. Part of this arts festival happened and I documented it like well. And it got, you know, on all the things like before the Instagram, like the blogs and this kind of shit. And I just wanted to see if I could create a space. Like it was, you know, big space, maybe this size, maybe even twice the size.
Lovely.
Did about 100 different pieces. Some were huge, some were tiny. Do you know, there was hardly any graffiti stuff in there, but I had like these, like which I always love in exhibition, you know, I'm kind of like, not really like a table, but like these cabinets. So in the cabinets, I had just mad shit. So people who knew me knew there was like, so I had like, you know, the classic, your BTP fucking Bagley shit in it, you know, all old markers. But then I had really cool shit. Like I had a mate who used to work somehow on the council and there was this mad like, fucking must have been to do with graph in the day, and there's this like photograph of me like running through the streets, and it's like I've been like pinpointed, and it's like it's just like this council thing, like you know, like, and I've just got it.
We're watching you, CCTV.
Bonkers. Yeah, I've got it. It's bonkers. Anybody knows who knows me. I used to always wear this stripy hat, and it's just like I didn't even know what I was doing. But I'm just like legging it. Like,
they've used that. Image.
Just little things there. Like
hilarious.
Train ticket. Like when I got my house raided, I still kept that, and like when you leave prison, they give you these like rail tickets,
right?
So you can go. So say I'm in Durham and
where
I live in London. They're like, and they're sick.
Yeah.
And like we never used ours because it wasn't like a big deal, but it was a big deal. Like where the point where like the press were at the fucking. And so my sister came all the way from, she lived in Manchester, so she came all the way to Durham, picked me and my mate up, and then we came because.
But you managed to keep the ticket.
Kept
then.
The ticket. So it's sick. So all little bits like so. It wasn't a lot.
When was this show?
Oh, long time ago. I think it was 2010.
Okay, yeah.
That was. I've done group exhibitions and stuff but it was like a solo thing and. The main thing with that, and it was really good, and most of the work's gone, if not all of it, or I've swapped it or whatever. But I thought the next time, instead of it just being like a bit of a hole, and I did leave out the graph thing, but it was like, I'd like to do a bit of a concept, not like, you know, waving, it's just about a colour, or it's just about this, it's just something that I can sort of theme and make it easier so I can concentrate more on the actual work rather than trying, it's like somebody said, try and fit your art career into a show, it'd be fucking hard,
man. Ridiculous. And
take a lot of work. You know,
would you do that in Manchester? Do you think?
Definitely, it's going to be there. But I would also would like it to move. I've thought about this. So I'd like to do something that
good.
It can move. So I could do it here. I could do it in London. I could do it in Bristol, and then that's it. You know. And again, it's like the whole thing about you know, it'd be nice to make some money out of it. But that exhibition, it cost me a fortune to frame things because I framed it all. Like I was just a kid, didn't have any. I was like, and I learned all that shit, and it was like the material, everything costs
so much.
But it's like, so I don't necessarily want to be doing it to make any money, but like I want to do it right, so
mate,
it's like
if you can fund your work, there's nothing like it.
Yeah,
man.
Well, that's
I made this, and there's a couple of people who said they want it, and it was on show actually.
Mm-hmm.
Once,
yes, it was
just
outside.
We had a show here, and I just wrote not for sale, and it's jarred the fuck out of some people.
Yeah,
there's one guy who wants it, and I think I let him have it for the right price, but it's just because he's like, no, I didn't, no, I just made it.
What?
Yeah, just and the same with these, no, I'm just making them, but where it doesn't matter,
yeah, because it's and then this is the thing, and it's like that's why you were saying before, it's like I'd love to swap a pay or swaps any yard with you.
We're doing something,
so we're definitely doing
definitely
that, but it's like,
something.
Yeah, I get it, it's like, and that's what it is. It's like, and again, you know, there's so many different types of people in the world. There's people making music purely to sell it, don't give a fuck. There's people making art purely to sell it, and it's like, you're clearly not doing that, and that's why people are captured by it, they're like, oh no, no, like I feel it.
I'm lucky, man. But the other thing is, I think I'm lucky, but it's also possible. And it's, as I said again, back to you, it's wicked. It's possible you can paint
totally
it, produce
totally
your own
and then
work,
again and use that in it the right way to then push it, create something. Not necessarily bigger, could be smaller, could be just to keep moving.
Keeps it going.
It.
I think one other thing I'm getting that keeps coming into my head while I was chatting to you is that, like, I'm blatantly just catching you halfway through your career. Mm. Like, you're going to be 70 doing work.
I'll be honest, and I've said this to everybody, I feel like, which is a bit bad, I feel like I've not really started and I don't feel like I've fucking even tried.
But I think what's good from the outside is that, you know, I see this big, accomplished, amazing start. Everything I've ever seen has just been
wild.
Like, fuck.
Amazing, because I genuinely just don't.
But
see
I don't
that
feel it from you, which is wicked. But it also kind of reaffirms that whole thing is that this guy is just going to keep the fuck going. He's got the formula, and this
is it's good to hear, because like it's like again with this whole social media, which is like, I'm not on that. So then because I don't put it on there, I just think I wonder what people actually think I do or what my work is, and I'm like. Like you say, the fact you bring up the paintings, I've forgotten about until you've and I'm like, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, I never forgot about it.
Amazing, and I'm like, wow, it's fucking bonkers.
But everything I see of yours, but yeah, it seems like, yeah, you're definitely an artist for life.
I've always wanted to link all of it. That's my thing. I've wanted to have, like, I wanted to be able to, I've always liked them artists, like, well, not just all musicians, but like, they could just make a sound, or they could just do a colour, or they could just do a shape, and you're like, fucking hell.
I know, yeah, I've got that, yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily even have to be as simple as that. It could be complex, but you just know. You know, it's that. And that's, I've just wanted to always kind of, that's what I'm aiming for, which I'm not there, but you know.
It's a wicked journey, though.
Yeah. And I'm, you know.
Do you live in Manchester now?
Yeah.
So you live a city life?
Yes and no. Manchester's compared to London is not. Yeah, but I live in a bit out in Wally Range, Charlton. So, but again, it's like, in terms of Manchester, it's central.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's just so different. You know, there's like a bit of grass, there's a park, there's shit like where's the city, imagine, it's great, but city living is only just, like we were saying, it's only really just coming about in the last 15 years. Yeah. You know, people who lived in the city 15 years ago had loads of money, that's it.
Right.
And like the loads of money in comparison to it is nothing.
Yeah.
Like the wealth divides compared to what goes on here is just bonkers. We were saying like, this, you know, bonkers. But
I dread to think.
In every respect, you know, things like beer, the price is similar. That's all similar. But like the house prices are really expensive for stuff now in Manchester, like wild. But in comparison, they're not at all.
It's
mind boggling, you know.
How the fuck?
And I was saying, like, I've gotten, like, not in a bad way, but none of my family have ever come this way. So I just don't know it. And I'm like, whoa, it's like, it's the norm. And it's like, I've got mates that they tell me what they're paying rent, and I'm like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
And often the loads of them are Mancunis, but they're just used to it. You just adapt. And this is what it is. Yeah. And they don't even.
Yeah. I don't get involved in any marches, not because I don't believe in them, but I don't make a fuss about shit. If this is the way it is, this way it is. I'm not defeatist. I just think whatever it is,
use your energy.
I'm going to use my energy in a certain way, and I, you know, hope it reverberates. And lots of different people work with me, and you know, I try and make sure we have a good, healthy life. And my son's got the studio next door. He
Amazing.
Works with me full time.
Sick,
which is wicked. He's not an artist. He's a photographer, but it's just, it's fucked out there. He's 22, and I feel for him, man. Like,
what were you saying about, imagine, like, even being a bit younger than, like, school.
I can't imagine what he must be like looking out there now.
Gross.
That'd be a fucking nightmare. Us in our 30s and 40s were like, this is fucking mental, but I think I can figure my way through it.
Being
these kids' ages.
There's little things I've discussed, like, you know, like, in passing, it's like how, you know, little things like when we were kids, again, by the time I was like a kid, I was done with like computer games. I've got like mates who are my age who still play computer games. Nothing against that, it's great. That culture's amazing as well if you're into it. But it's like games were made and they were addictive kind of by accident. Like kids now, they're making games that they know like scientifically are addictive.
So
kids are just like, they're done. Yeah. Like you can't even expect them to not be addicted to fucking social media or not, because it's completely designed to get them.
It's daunting. Josh, my boy, he wants to go. He doesn't know where. Mm-hmm. I think he wants to be a hobo is his ideal. He talks to me about living in a van.
Sick. To do for a bit, man.
I mean, look, as a dad, I'm a bit concerned and worried, but I have to be like, no, you're 20. I had him at 20.
Well, fair enough.
So like, you're 22. You ain't had a kid. Yeah. Brilliant. And I can't judge what you do. And I just support him. And like, he earns money with me.
Sick.
But I can't, you know, he pays rent out in, he lives out in Harrow.
Mm-hmm.
In some, he's got a tiny room. It's fucking like nearly £500 a month.
Whoa.
And it's like, what? how the fuck is a 22-year-old meant to do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are they meant? Yeah, it's a scary time for
terrifying.
Them.
Terrifying. It's fucking terrifying.
As I say, I try. I don't take part in all that shit out there. I just make sure I look after what I can. And, you know, I got him to be self-employed so he could go and do you.
Totally. I was blessed with that as a kid, you know.
Having that inspiration of being so, my mum's self-employed and it inspired me to be. Same as your dad, I suppose. So you see, sorry about that dip.
No, it's got a bit
lost. So next year you're going to be working towards.
Still working towards it. Yeah, like I've with that graffiti culture, like I was saying before, it's disappointing that unfortunately loads of my shit is in that horrible like photography digital age where loads of the fucking cameras are shit and it's like it's not even old cool. It's like fuck's sake, but it's there and it's like I'm from that. It's like I've been a good person of like keeping stuff. Document everything. Wicked. So I've been sort of collecting a lot of things, a lot of concepts and sound bites and things. I want to do something different. So I'm collecting, been collecting for a long time.
Wicked.
Yeah, I need to just get myself, like I say, been concentrating on trying to get a nice space or a nice living situation to then, or a better one, to then really, again, immerse myself into that kind of world. Because I think
it's weird. Even putting that question to you is even quite stupid, man, because I really just, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
I'm just going to keep being me. And
Totally. And I'm, again, like yourself, I'm one of these people that doesn't, I don't feel pressured by time. Like, I'm blessed with it. We're lucky, you know, we're here, but it's like, I don't think, oh, fuck it, I'd rather, I've got to put stuff out even if it's shit. It's like, I'm just not doing it.
The podcast, for instance, I hadn't done it for nearly 2 years. And if I was of a certain type, I'd be like, oh, fuck, everyone's forgotten, it's going to flop. I was like, it is what it is, and here's another one.
As if
there was one that came out 2 weeks ago.
No one
gives a fuck.
Because it's good quality. Whereas it's that guy that no matter what, every Friday puts one out and he's putting it out and it's shit. It's like, fuck,
God's sake. Annoying. But I kind of felt tied to it. I was like, oh, I've got to do this. And repetitiveness and all that type of stuff we learn from graffiti and it is great and it works.
Yes, it does.
But there is a point where you're just like, okay, it works within the culture. You don't have to follow it in that world.
Yeah, that's really well put. Really well. So I totally agree. And it's refreshing. That's when I was, again, like you're saying about my work, it's like, I was like, are you sure you want me? Like, me? What are you on about? Like, I'm like,
oh, man.
Before
that painting, before I met the Stoke boys, I can't even, because this is what I'm saying, I really would have said you're from 99. I don't know why I would have said that. I just think the amount of work I've seen, I suppose I didn't put into such a small amount of years. And wherever I've seen the photos, it was magazines, online, Insta, whatever, it's a fucking impressive, really impressive portfolio.
Well.
Especially when I was printing for you when we had the Manchester thing, that was Pucker, and the little portfolio I got when we made Doc.
Yeah, it was sick.
It was sick.
The project was sick. That was really good.
That was nice, man. It was nice. It was a nice effort.
That was the thing. It's like, even like, again, I was really happy to get involved with that because it's like the degree of like the book that you made and the quality of it. It was, you know what I mean? It was care. It wasn't like, let's get these people and make some money. It wasn't that. Do you know what I mean? The quality was there.
I spent fucking loads.
I can fucking see.
But it was wicked though. It's just the point. So you can just keep going and doing
totally,
more. It's just
totally.
Another thing. That book's on my shelf, actually.
That's sick. Yeah, I'll have a look. That is great, man.
A wicked TJ, man.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that, man. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time coming down. And it's been a wicked chat. And I've always got preconceptions, like any human, I suppose. And so, I just love that it wasn't that. And it wasn't a negative preconception.
No. Yeah.
This is just like, man, why did this one fucker?
Amazing. No, I appreciate it. Yeah. Amazing. I really appreciate it, mate.
I bet you're feeling it, or close to what I felt, hearing TJ talk and the calmness and the vibe he emits. What a dope dude. And his freeness, and I suppose his honesty with himself. It really inspires. A no pressure kind of person, executing some amazing work. It was great to hear how he's done it also. It's hard being an artist, and the fact that he set up and made his business selling cars, and cars that he really likes at that, is also inspiring. It doesn't all have to be 24/7. We're looking to be here till 80 plus. We've got time. I remembered after that we had actually done some work together when I set up Rare Car in Manchester with top designer Andy Cook. We made a book, done some prints, I think we spoke about that in the interview. And the only job I remember was helping IKEA celebrate their 25th birthday across the country. I think Pref was the hookup on that project. Anyway, Crec did the Manchester one. And some lucky people up that way have got some beautiful Crec side tables in their houses. I also remembered, I forgot to get him to sign my book. Next time, TJ. A dope chat. I hope you all enjoyed it as much as I did. Keep warm, look after each other. It's a bloody mad world at the moment, so be patient, help yourself and help others. And luckily, art saves lives, as we know. So until next time, love your city and love your culture. Peace.